The scripture is taken from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul is in the process of writing this letter to the Corinthians and telling them about the thorn in his flesh. "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, God. Amen. You may be seated. When I am weak, I've learned that that's when I can be strong. Why? Because then we can allow God to work through us. Well, good morning again. Welcome to the Living Water Church. And today we're continuing our teaching series on the life of Paul. We're looking at some essential qualities that Paul was instilled in Paul that he taught about that allowed him to live the life that he lived to have such an incredible impact on the world. And so if you grab your message notes, grab a pen or a pencil so you could take some notes as we go through this. Now, Paul wasn't perfect. He had some flaws in his life, which makes him relatable. In fact, we see that he's like us. But even in that, he said, "As I do my best to keep my eyes on Jesus and become just like Jesus, I want you to follow me and let me be the example of Jesus in the flesh." We read this scripture verse last week, 1 Corinthians 11:1. It just says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And so Paul's just saying, "I am striving to be like Jesus, to be going in the way that Jesus is teaching me. And if you will follow me, you will find yourself following Jesus." And so that's what we want to do today. And today we're going to look today at the essential quality of grit. The essential quality of grit. Now, what exactly is grit? Grit's been a big topic in discussion in the secular world recently, over the last few years. Grit has become sort of a buzzword in psychology and the business world. In fact, there was a best-selling book that came out with that title, Grit. And in that book, psychologist Dr. Angela Duckworth said that grit was perhaps the number one predictor of success in life. And she wrote this: "One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. And it wasn't social intelligence, it wasn't good looks or physical health, it wasn't IQ, it was grit." And it's clear that grit is important if you want to live a fulfilling and a successful life, but grit is something that can be really hard to just define. However, we know it when we see it in someone's life, don't we? We know what grit is when we see it in action. You know, when you're a single mom and you're working 60 hours a week to make ends meet and you're doing everything you can to raise your children correctly and you get them to church each week, that takes grit. When you're working 2 jobs to pay your way through grad school and then a week comes up when you've got to do a double shift but you also have a couple finals to study for, that takes some grit. When you can't afford to fully staff your business yet, and so because of that, you have to get up at 4 a.m. every morning to get everything done, that takes grit. When you're sick, and every morning, every week, you have to drag yourself to chemo, to dialysis, and it drains you of strength, and it drains you of energy, that takes grit. And you know, love him or hate him, but when former President Trump stood up after being shot in the ear and yelled, "Fight, fight, fight," that took incredible grit. And maybe we struggle to define it, but we know what grit is when you see it. You know, we see it in the lives who have risen to the top with just overcoming and just insurmountable obstacles in their life. You know, when the tough get, you know, when life gets tough, people with grit, they just keep going through it. We need this grit in our lives. And we know it when we see it. And nowhere do we see grit more than in the life of the Apostle Paul. Well, let me just say this. Paul isn't just this, doesn't have just this ordinary everyday grit. Paul's grit isn't come from this desire for achievement or for more wealth or for fame. His grit was a much more powerful kind of grit than we find in the world. It came from God. And it was driven by God's purpose and his mission for his life. And listen, if you're going to achieve the purpose that God has given you, the purpose that he created you to live out, then you're going to need this grit, this essential quality for you to do it. And here's a biblical definition of grit. It's the perseverance and passion to achieve God's given goals. That's what grit is. It's the perseverance and passion to achieve God-given goals. It's the firmness of character. It's the indomitable spirit to keep moving forward, to keep following God no matter what you're facing. You need grit in your life and in your faith right now, maybe more than ever before. And if anyone possessed this quality of grit, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul's life after he became a Christian, it was full of struggles and setbacks and dangers and diversions, but he never quit. He always kept going. And we find one of the greatest tests of Paul's grit and determination in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Now, keep in mind, Paul has already been a prisoner before this scene happens in 27. He's been a prisoner for 2 years waiting to stand trial for something he didn't even do. And he had been stuck in prison because he refused to give a bribe to the leader then. And the leader wanted to placate the Jewish leaders. And so he'd been stuck in prison. And he finally appealed to Caesar. And so he'd been there for 2 years. And then if things weren't difficult enough, you know, to get to Rome, to have this trial, he's got to cross the Mediterranean Sea. And as they're crossing it, the ship hits this tremendous storm. We pick up that story in Acts 27, verse 13. It says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. So he's being transported to Rome, and this huge storm hits them and it grabs the ship that was right around the coast, takes it out to sea, and then look what happens. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Can you imagine? Stuck on a ship in the middle of a storm, you can't see any light. It is total darkness for days. You have no idea where you are now. Underline that last phrase, all hope was gone. We're going to continue this story in a moment, but can you imagine for a moment? You've been a prisoner for 2 years, and prison isn't like today's prisons. This was first century prison. And now you're having to travel to stand trial, and a hurricane blows in, threatens to wreck the ship you're on and your life. I mean, have you ever felt like you were in a situation similar to that where you just got this storm that's just threatening to destroy everything, where it's just so dark and it's overwhelming and you're feeling like all hope is gone that it's going to get better? And maybe you're not a prisoner caught in a life-threatening storm, but perhaps you're dealing with some crippling debt, or you're dealing with the possibility of a storm of divorce. Or maybe you've dealt with the storm of an unexpected, tragic loss of a loved one. You know, storms, they come in all kinds of sizes and shapes. But what keeps you going when you're in the middle of that? What keeps you moving forward? Well, the answer is godly grit. That steadfastness of character and conviction that keeps you moving forward in faith. The holding on to God's power through the disappointments and struggles that you face as you pursue God's plan for your life. It's godly grit. And it might be that there might be someone here that's right there right now. And even if you're not there, it's going to happen because storms are just a part of life. There's probably one brewing on the horizon somewhere. And that's why we need today's message, because if you're going to make it through it, when it comes, and keep following Jesus when times get tough, like Paul did, we need this essential quality of grit. So how do we develop it? How do we have this when we need it? How do I develop the essential quality of grit? Here's the first step. If I want this grit in my life, we learn from Paul that I have to realize that there's going to be setbacks in life. We just got to accept this. It's the first step. That there's going to be some things that are going to happen to us that's going to cause us to have a setback. I mean, have you ever been surprised by a storm? You know, you're moving ahead with all your plans. Everything is going well. Just seems like you're right doing what you're supposed to do. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a storm happens. Business partner pulls out. Your health all of a sudden goes south. You got a worldwide pandemic out of nowhere. Change everything. Life is full of these struggles and surprises. And if you're going to be able to persevere through the trials of life, we need to realize that life is going to have these setbacks. It's never going to be pain-free. It's just part of our experience. And you know, some people, they think that when they give their life to Jesus, that now they've got God on their side, so life is just going to be a whole lot easier. God's just going to take care of the problems, and all you got is sunny skies. Maybe you're going through things right now, and maybe you're doing things that you know God wants you to do. God's asking you to take these steps, and you're right in the middle of His will, and you wonder, why is it so hard right now? If I'm doing what God is asking me to do, why are things just this wall, pushing and pressure and trying to keep me from going ahead? Why are these setbacks here? Well, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, setbacks are a part of life. Jesus even told us we'd face them. John 16, verse 33, where Jesus says, on earth, we'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Jesus said, this is just a part of life. You got to expect that you're going to have these unexpected, difficult, painful, unexplainable stuff happen in life. Happens to the good and the bad. It's a part of living in a fallen, sinful world, and it's important for us to learn to expect them so they don't surprise us so much that it causes us to back away from our relationship to God. It's a first step, developing this grit in life. You know, Paul, he knew a lot about setbacks. While being in prison and being stuck in the middle of a storm was a big setback. You know, we're going to get back to this story in a moment, but, you know, that was just one of the trials Paul faced in his life. In fact, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul outlines all of them, and it's quite a list. He says, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. You know, you do the math. That's 195 lashes with a whip. Can you imagine? He must have had incredible scars on his body from the beatings that he took. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And just to make sure you know what he's talking about, that means he had stones thrown at him till they thought he was dead. He didn't eat some Lace gummy bears, okay? So that's not what he was talking about, okay? 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. Paul wasn't just shipwrecked once. It happened again and again. He says, I have traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger in the cities and the deserts and on the seas. Everywhere that Paul went, trouble found him. Do you ever feel that way? That no matter where you look, there's just more problems and troubles. It continues, I've worked hard and long and during many sleepless nights. Been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. I mean, can you imagine a longer list of setbacks, troubles, and pain and problems for just one guy to endure and overcome? And maybe after hearing that list, you might be wondering, well, Pastor Todd, why are we devoting 8 weeks to study this guy? He's had so many failures and so many losses, so many struggles. Shouldn't we study somebody who's had a little bit more success in life? But I don't want you to miss this. Paul faced all these setbacks, and by God's grace and strength, he kept moving through them. That's grit. And that grit allowed Paul, despite all these setbacks, to spread the good news about Jesus all over the world. God used all of this to set the foundation of the church. These experiences gave Paul the wisdom to write the majority of the New Testament. That literally turned the whole world upside down. And listen, success stories doesn't come from the absence of setbacks in life. It comes when you expect setbacks. So you're ready to face them with some godly grit so you can fight through them and succeed in spite of them. So here's the thing. You know, don't expect life to be easy. Don't look at people's lives that you see on social media and on TV and buy into the lie that their lives are great and your life is not. That you're the only one who's dealing with some troubles. Because it happens to everyone. In fact, as you follow Jesus, expect that there will be struggles. But if you have this mature perspective, it's going to allow you to take this next step in developing the essential quality of grit, and that is to remain in control of my emotions. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do of all of these. Remain in control of my emotions. When the setbacks come, instead of letting these negative emotions get the best of you, lean on God's strength to remain in control of your emotions. You know, as we just look back just a little bit at this pandemic, and in some ways we're still stuck in it as this new wave of COVID has come through. But it really highlighted the importance of this. I mean, as we went through that, many marriages that already were strained have crumbled under the weight of that pandemic. Personal finances that were on the brink fell off the cliff during it. Those who were already struggling with loneliness found themselves even more isolated under the weight of that pandemic. And for some, what we've been through the last 3 years has been the greatest challenge of your entire life. So when that pressure rises, how do you stay cool and in control of your emotions? How do you resist the urge to panic and lose control? Well, back to Paul's story. So he's caught in the middle of this massive storm at sea. He's already a prisoner. Naturally, everyone else on board, the soldiers and the sailors and the other prisoners, they're all freaking out now. They're losing control of their emotions. They're panicking under the pressure. They're even losing hope. But I want you to look at what Paul does in Acts 27. In the middle of that storm, beginning in verse 21, he says, "Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete.'" See, he had tried to give them some godly advice about not leaving Crete, but they wouldn't listen. After all, he was just a prisoner. But then it continues. "You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. So take courage. For I believe God, it will be just as he said." So God had given Paul a promise, first of all, that he was going to go preach in Rome. And then an angel came and encouraged Paul and said, you know, as long as you follow the plan, everyone's going to survive. And so Paul chose to believe God. How was he able to remain calm? Well, I want you to underline that phrase, "for I believe God." Might not have made any sense in the middle of that storm, total darkness, that everybody would make it to shore when they didn't even have any idea there was a shore to make it to. But Paul chose to believe. God had already promised him, and so he chose to believe. He trusted God in faith. And by the way, Paul's calm in the midst of the storm caused everyone else on that board to calm down as well. In the moment of crisis, it was Paul's faith in Jesus that enabled him to remain in control of his emotions and enabled him not to give up. And then so when we find ourselves in the middle of this storm, find ourselves becoming overwhelmed and anxious, we too can remain in control of our emotions. We can have this supernatural grit that Paul had when we remember that God, whatever is going on, we might not understand, but he is in control. And we remember that God can calm the storm in your life too, in His will. Now, here's the next step developing godly grit in your life. Resist the temptation to quit. Resist the temptation to quit, because that is the big temptation when it all hits. When life gets tough, we remember that storms are going to come. We remain in control of our emotions, and then we got to resist this temptation to give up, to quit. Have you ever thought to yourself, if just one more bad thing happens to me today, you know, that's it. I'm done, okay? I can't do anymore. You know, one more thing is going to be the last straw that's going to break the camel's back. One more project gets added to my plate. One more person disappoints me. One more person says something to me that hurts my feelings. I'm done. I'm walking away. And in these moments, it's tempting to just throw up your hands and say, I give up. I quit. You know, that's kind of been an unexpected result of the past pandemic. They call it quiet quitting, where tons of people just simply quit their jobs rather than going back to the office to work. But let me just say this, whenever you quit on God's plan for your life, you always regret it. It's always a bad move. So Paul faced that same kind of moment of truth in his life. Am I going to quit? Am I going to keep going? So he's a prisoner. He's caught in this boat in the storm. There's this huge shipwreck. And then after the shipwreck, everyone miraculously makes it to shore. No one dies. So here's Paul. He's just survived maybe one of the most harrowing experiences that anyone could ever go through. He's cold, he's wet, he's tired. Now he's made it to shore. Things have got to get better, right? Wrong. Look what happens next. Back to our story, Acts 28, beginning in verse 3. It says, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat bit him on the hand. You know, if you just stop the story there, I mean, you got to be kidding me. He survives the storm and a shipwreck. He's a prisoner. He survived all that, and he gets bit by a poisonous snake and dies. Of course, not quite. That's not how it ends. That's what they expected, though, those who are watching this happen. So the story goes on. But Paul shook off that snake into the fire. It was unharmed. Now, first of all, let me just tell you, I don't like snakes. You would never find a pet snake in my house, okay? I have a cousin that had one for many years until it bit her the third time, and then she decided to get rid of that boa constrictor. I would have got bit of it. I never would have had it, but I would definitely not kept it after the first time. But anyways, you know, when I was up at the cabin on my vacation working on the cabin, I had a garter snake. He's probably about this long. And he kind of adopted me that week. And he lived close to where the building we use is a garage. And he found very creative places to hide until I was stepping and he would all of a sudden move and I'd get a heart attack. Because in that part of the state up by, you know, Atlanta, we got lots of sand. It's known as having rattlesnakes. The Michigan, I forget how you say that name, that Mississauga rattlesnake. It's a habitat for that. I've not seen one, but Cheryl says she's seen one up there before, maybe a couple of them up there before. Thank goodness I haven't. But every time he would move, I would think it's a rattlesnake, and they're like, oh, it's just the garter snake. It happened like 6 times, different places. He was very creative at hiding. But, you know, I don't think I would have reacted the way Paul reacted. If a poisonous snake bit me, I'd probably be like, running around, you know, I don't know how you would react, but it would not be calmly going over and just shaking him in the fire. Of course, I've not been through all the things that Paul has been through up to this point, but that's what he did. He just went on the fire and he shook it off, because he says, God promised me I'm going to Rome. This snake is not going to be anything to me. Now, everyone had been rescued from this shipwreck, plus the people on the island. They saw all this happening, and they were just waiting for Paul to get sick and die. They said he must have done something really bad to have gotten through all of that and then get bitten by a poisonous snake. But Paul, he just shakes it off into the fire. I don't know about you, but that's what I call grit. And while you and I probably won't ever have to shake a poisonous snake off into a fire after it's bitten you, at least I hope that you don't ever have to do that, there's going to be in times when you're going to have just a virtual parade of problem after problem, bad news after bad news, things happening over and over again, where it just seems to come one after another after another. And I want you to stand when those moments come, like Paul, you have to have the grit to shake it off and keep moving forward. God will help you through it if you let him. He will. He will give you that strength each day just to take one more step. God will grow you through it if you allow him and you refuse to quit. Now, as you experience challenging circumstances in life, perhaps it's just good to remember that not every problem in life is as big as a shipwreck level problem. In fact, there's different levels of problems that we face in life. First of all, there's the level one problems, the smaller ones. This might be an unexpected bill that comes. Or maybe a client that doesn't say yes in a sales presentation. Or one of your kids unexpectedly gets sick. That's a level one problem. It's tough, but you can learn from those level one problems, and you learn to trust God to get through them and keep moving forward. Then you're better positioned when you have a level two problem hit. And level two problems are a little more difficult. You know, maybe that you might default on something financially. Or maybe your marriage hits a rocky spot and there's a lot of tension in the home. Or maybe your job security becomes just feeling like it's really on thin ice. Now, these problems are tougher and they have greater consequences and they require greater grit. But then there are level three problems. And the intensity increases with level three. This is when maybe you have to file for bankruptcy, or you have to go through a trial separation with your spouse. Someone here might be going through a level three problem right now. Health is just really difficult. Things don't look great. And then lastly, there's level four problems. These are the problems that are just devastating. It's the divorce. It's losing a child. It's finding out that you have stage four cancer. And it's so hard when you're at that level four. So how are you going to get through the biggest problems in life? How do you survive those level three and four problems? Well, you learn to survive those and you develop the strength you need to survive them by learning to trust God when you're at that level one and level two problems in life. When you grow in your faith and you trust God to get you through those smaller problems, you start to have the faith as you hit those bigger ones and those intensity gets more difficult. Paul was able to shake off that shipwreck and that snake bite. And you know why? Because he had learned lessons from previous problems. And he'd already developed godly grit because he'd walked through God through problems in the past. And Paul knew that God was going to help him through these even bigger ones. And listen, you know, when you feel shipwrecked, when you go through those tough things, we have to have this mindset of I'm not going to give up, that I'm not going to quit, and then put your trust in God to help you see it through. And when he does, your faith in him just grows so much from that. You're going to be stronger the next time a storm comes, and that's how God develops this quality of grit in your life you're going to need again and again and again. But let me say, the only way to remain in control of your emotions, the only way you can remain strong and resist that temptation to quit is you do this next step in your notes. Write this in. Learn to rely on God's power to get me through. Oh, how we struggle with this because we want to just kind of deal with it ourselves, especially on the smaller problems. We never learned the grit thing because we think we're going to figure it out ourselves. We've got to learn to rely on God's strength and power to get me through. Have you ever noticed this? The people that the world lifts up as heroes, especially in the movies, are those who, when the going gets tough, they somehow find the power within themselves to seemingly overcome insurmountable obstacles. And while it makes a great story, the truth is, by ourselves, our power is rather limited. Our strength is limited. Our understanding is limited. And it eventually runs out. And at some point, you realize that you just don't have it within you. So rather than relying on your own strength and resources, we've got to learn to rely on God's power, which is unlimited, and it never runs out. That's how Paul got through it. Especially how he got through when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9. 8 and 9, Paul is kind of reflecting on how he got through one of the most significant challenges in his life. And he wrote this: "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves," and underline this next phrase, "learn to rely only on God who raises the dead, on God who can do anything. There is nothing impossible." Have you ever got to that place where you realize, I got nothing left? And so you finally said, God, can you help me? And then all of a sudden you find this unlimited resources you didn't even realize was available to you. I know the first time I did that, I remember thinking, why didn't I learn this a little sooner? And sometimes I wonder, why do I make the same mistake again? Not going to God first to get those resources he has for us. But when you learn to do that, that is a mark of spiritual maturity. When you're not relying on your own power, your own strength, your own understanding of this, but instead you're seeking God's. It's only when you stop pretending that you can do it all, that you can handle it all yourself. It's only when you come to the end of your strength that you're able to realize how much greater God's strength is. Through the shipwrecks and the snake bite, through all the beatings, imprisonments, and long days and sleepless nights, Paul had discovered the real secret to power. And it's the secret reveals in our key verse for today from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. In fact, I want us to read this out loud together. It starts with, "I take pleasure." Let's read this verse. "I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul says, "I've learned to enjoy the hardships." Can you imagine ever getting to that place where you enjoy? Where it's like, oh, cool, bring it on, God. Now, he got there because he realized the worse the hardship, the more God works through him. And it is a cool thing to have God work through you that way. And it's sometimes the only time you really get to experience the power of God is when the hardship comes. And so Paul says, "I learned to look forward to it, to see what God's going to do next." That is an amazingly mature Christian place to get to. Where something goes wrong, and it just seems like there's no hope in the situation, and you respond with, "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Bring it on. Because when I'm weak and I don't know how I'm going to handle it, then I am strong, because then I can rely on God and God does it through me." Paul took pleasure in his weaknesses. Why? Because he understood that the less you rely on his own power, the more God's power he's going to experience through him. And so we just have to realize, and we have to admit to ourselves, that I do not have enough power on my own to face everything that life is going to throw at me. That your power and strength is limited. And when you decide today to stop relying on yourself and start relying on God's power, that is not a sign of weakness. That's the ultimate sign of spiritual maturity. It's a sign of godly grit that God is building in your life. When you stop relying on yourself and you start to learn to rely and walk in the Spirit, and it develops this godly grit in your life. And so we do that by realizing there's going to be setbacks. And then we remain in control of our emotions. We resist the temptation to quit. We rely on God's power. And then finally, in your notes, remember the bigger picture of God's plan. Remember that bigger picture of what God's plan is as you're going through this. Because after everything that Paul had been through, the horrible pain, problem after problem, some really scary situations, why would Paul keep trusting God in the face of all these struggles he's going through? Remember, he wasn't just shipwrecked once, he was shipwrecked three times. I mean, why in the world would he get back on one of those ships after the first one? Why did he keep going where God was leading him if he kept getting into all this trouble? Why did he keep telling people about Jesus after that first stoning, after that first beating, after that first imprisonment? What kept him going? It was the confidence that no matter what he faced, that God would be in control. He had this bigger picture that he was living his life for. Paul believed that God had a plan for his life that was much bigger than the difficulties he was facing in the moment. And if you'll remember, in the worst of times, that God is working out something much bigger than just your life. That perspective will give you the ability to endure anything. Because God always brings good out of evil. He always brings joy out of pain and hope out of despair. God always brings life out of death. Romans chapter 8, 28 is such a powerful reminder of this, where he says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together, the good and the bad, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." God doesn't cause all the pain in your life, but he can redeem it. God might not have caused the storm that you're going through right now, but he can bring good out of it if you develop godly grit. If you don't give up when it gets really tough, if you remember that this is a momentary trial that you're experiencing right now that can ultimately lead to your greatest victory. In his book, Paul, a Man of Grit and Grace, Charles Swindoll writes this: "Paul pursued his divine mission with unflinching with resolve, with grit. And God used him mightily to turn the world upside down for Christ." Perhaps that's why Paul, perhaps that's why Paul just was able to live life with such hope. If he is the chief of sinners and he can be forgiven and become God's chosen vessel, can he not forgive us and use us as well? Paul wasn't perfect, but he was forgiven. And he was able to fulfill God's mission for him because he knew that God forgives sin and he raised Jesus from the dead, and that same God can carry you through the worst of storms. God will do the same thing for you if you'll learn to turn to him, if you'll put your trust in him. I want you to remember that struggle you're facing, if you're facing one right now, if you're in a storm right now, as difficult as it might be, is but a momentary trouble when you compare it to the joy of eternity in heaven spent with God. So look at our last verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Now remember, this is Paul saying this. Think of that list, that great big list he went through. He's saying those are small, and they don't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't miss this. When you begin to see those current struggles, those storms in life, when you see them right now as small, because in eternity you'll no longer have to face those challenges and pain in life. That's spiritual maturity, and it enables you to never give up and to pursue your life with this tenacious grit. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're right there when we go through these setbacks and challenges in life, that you are with us every step of the way. You offer us your grace and your strength to bring us through them. And God, I lift up to you anyone who's facing some challenging times right now, whether they're a level 1-2 challenge or whether they're a 3 or 4 challenge. I pray that you would give them the strength to keep moving forward through it. Remind us today of the hope that we have in Christ, the hope of heaven to come. Give us that grit that we need to remain in control of our emotions when our emotions are screaming at us to do the opposite of that. Give us
your grit to not give up, to refuse to quit. And help us to remember in the midst of it all to lean into you, to rely on your strength and wisdom rather than just trying to do it in our own strength and our own understanding. May we learn to go to you first. May we be able to see our trials and tribulations as small compared to the glory of heaven to come. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The praise band's going to come up, and we're going to sing this song, God of Revival. And here's the truth. Jesus has already overcome this world. He's already won, even in the midst of the storm. And sometimes we need to just remember when life becomes more than we feel we can bear, we need to ask for God to pour out His Holy Spirit on us, for us to be washed afresh in the power of God's presence. Sometimes that's what we need the most, even in the trials, maybe even especially in the trials, is to have our spiritual connection with God revived. And God loves to revive His people. So I want us to sing this song. It's God of Revival. And I want you to think of whatever it might be in life, whether it is challenges you're going through, challenges a friend is going through, challenges family members are going through. Would you call out to God and ask Him to revive you, to revive your family, to revive our church and our community? The power of revival. Let's stand as we sing.